When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the regions of Libya, bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They are full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk as you suspect. After all, it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Welcome, everybody. And happy birthday, church. Pentecost is the birthday of the church, so happy birthday, church. Yay! For those that might not know me, I am Meg. I was on staff here for, since the beginning, and served as co-pastor for the last, 2.5, 3 years, until December. So I've been around for a while. If you want to know some juicy gossip, I don't know anything recent, so it would be like, let's pray before I go any further off the rails. Lord, thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you for Pentecost. Thank you for making the church. Thank you for being present. And creative and so very good. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. All right. I have a little bit of a show and tell for you this morning because I used to be an elementary school teacher and that's just kind of how I roll. So you'll see on the communion table is a quilt that I made. I actually finished it last weekend on Mother's Day. One of the ways I celebrated Mother's Day was taking some extra time to quilt. I just started quilting over the summer, so don't look too carefully. It's not like artisanal level of skill going on. But I did make it completely with thrifted cotton dress shirts. So I can say both that I made it myself and I got it at the thrift store, which I feel like is like a double brag. Anyway, I have this quilt with me today because this is my Holy Spirit quilt. And since today is Pentecost, I thought it was fitting to bring it along. Now, why do I call this my Holy Spirit quilt? I'm so glad you asked. First, because I felt compelled to make this specific quilt for myself. It was an idea that just popped in my head and would not let me go. This quilt was one of those ideas that I have learned over the years that when I get a wild hair like this to make something that's really specific, I need to go with it because it is most likely the Holy Spirit. And there is some reason behind it that will may or may not become apparent later. But as I was working on other projects over the winter, this idea formed in my mind, and it needed to have certain components. One, it needed to be sized for me. I'd only made baby quilts and like pillow covers and stuff up until this point. And this one needed to be large enough that I could like wrap it around me on the couch. Two, it needed to be the flying geese pattern, which is what these triangles are called. It's named obviously not because it looks like geese, but because it's the V formation that geese fly in. And the geometrically, they are twice as wide as they are tall. And I wanted to make it completely with thrifted fabric. So some of these connections to the Holy Spirit might be obvious. The image of a comforting presence that you can be surrounded by. And that's definitely part of it. The Spirit is such a source of comfort in times of grief and confusion and anxiety. Jesus told his friends before his death that it was better for them if he go away, because the Holy Spirit would come. The name Jesus used for the Holy Spirit can be translated as comforter, companion, advocate, helper. And having a tangible reminder of that comforting presence that has been with me my whole life and will continue with me through eternity is definitely part of the significance of this quilt for me. Some of you may have already gotten the goose connection to the Holy Spirit. Remember, these are flying geese blocks, and the wild goose is the preferred symbol of the Holy Spirit for medieval Celtic Christians. And I've always loved this image of the Spirit. The wild goose is loud and raucous and unpredictable and can be really disruptive. And this feels much more like the noisy spirit we read about this morning than a gentle dove. And then there's the idea of the wild goose chase, which is super applicable to the work of the Holy Spirit, in my opinion. A couple weeks ago, Brody preached about Philip being sent on a wild goose chase to meet up with an Ethiopian man. Scripture is full of stories of God's people either chasing or being chased by the Spirit. I feel like Paul's entire story from conversion onward is just a series of wild goose chases. And this pattern has other resonant connections as well. The block, as you can tell, looks like arrows. And I have just come through a really intense season of vocational discernment, and the symbol of an arrow pointing the way really resonated deeply with me. In fact, I tried laying out, like, one of the cool things about the geometry of this quilt is that you can point the arrows any direction you want, and it'll still work out. And I laid it out every way I could think of, and I didn't feel settled until all the arrows were pointing the same way. And then the flying geese pattern is one of many traditional quilt blocks that have been used in the Underground Railroad. And we don't have a lot of surviving oral history about this, but this is one like that from the 1840s or 50s that could have been, you know, it was at least from the same time. We don't know what it was used for. But anyway, there's some snippets of oral history that that connect certain quilt blocks to codes that may have been used during the Underground Railroad to mark homes as friendly or to convey messages. And one such message would be the flying geese blocks pointing the way to go. And as a history nerd, I've read these stories, and I can't look at a flying geese quilt and not connect it to freedom and courage. So all of those connections of this particular quilt to the Holy Spirit aside, I'm beginning to think that the work of a quilter is not that different from the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, Pentecost is meant to remind us of an older story, one all the way back in Genesis with the Tower of Babel. And in this story, people set out to build a great city with a very tall tower. And this plan, of course, does not work the way they want it to. And God course corrects by giving them different languages and scattering them throughout the earth, which was what they were supposed to be doing to begin with. And then fast forward to Pentecost, and God is again messing with our languages But this time, the Holy Spirit allows people from all over the world to hear the mighty works of God in their own languages. So just as a quilter stitches different scraps of fabric together into a single unified piece, the Holy Spirit in this story is stitching together a new creation, the church. So I propose that along with symbols like the dove, fire, and the wild goose, that the Holy Spirit at work could also look like this. This is Mary Lee Bendoff. She's one of the quilters of Gease Bend, Alabama. Just out of curiosity, does anyone know about the Gease Bend quilters? Yes! they're kind of a big deal. Mary Lee Bendoff's quilts, along with those made by other quilters in her community, have been featured on postage stamps, hung in prestigious art museums, and are highly sought after by art collectors. The New York Times have called these quilts some of the most miraculous works of modern art in the world. You'll see some images of them. Their style is so unique, partially because of the uniqueness of the Gease Bend community. And I'm just gonna read a little bit about them from an article about the history of Gease Bend. The residents of Gease Bend, Alabama, are direct descendants of the enslaved people who worked the cotton plantation established in 1816 by Joseph Gee. After the Civil War, their ancestors remained on the plantation working as sharecroppers. In the 1930s, the price of cotton fell, and the community faced ruin. As part of its Depression-era intervention, the federal government purchased 10,000 acres of the former plantation and provided loans enabling residents to acquire and farm the land formerly worked by their ancestors. Unlike the residents of other tenant communities who could be forced by economic circumstances to move, or who were sometimes evicted in retaliation for their efforts to achieve civil rights, the people of the Bend could retain their land and homes. Cultural traditions like quilt making were nourished in these communities, or by these continuities, excuse me. In the 1960s, spurred on by Martin Luther King Jr.'s visit, geographically, this is not that far from Selma, Alabama, community members became active in the civil rights movement, ferrying to the county seat at Camden to register to vote. Authorities reacted by eliminating ferry service altogether, effectively isolating the community and cutting it off from basic services. During this period, local women came together to found the Freedom Quilting Bee, a workers' cooperative that provided much-needed economic opportunity and political empowerment. Throughout this time and up until the present, the settlement's unique patchwork quilting tradition that began in the 19th century has endured. So, and that's, Mary Lee Bendoff with one of her quilts. So I don't know if anyone's familiar with the book Joyful or Ingrid Fettel Lee, but she's a designer and she writes about things that cause joy or bring joy. And she traveled to Gease Bend to meet some of these women and investigate why their quilts appear to be so infused with joy. Ingrid had the rare opportunity to watch Marianne Petway, who's the niece of Mary Lee Bendoff, who we can see here at work. This is what she writes. Watching Marianne take pieces from a pile and fit them into a composition, I felt a bit of the same thrill as when you snap a jigsaw puzzle piece into place, or in a very mundane example, see a Tetris block locked neatly in its spot. It was a process of making order out of disorder, of finding harmony in what seems to the naked eye like noise. I think it helps explain why these quilts feel so joyful. The human eye has an uncanny ability to detect patterns and find balance, even within milliseconds of seeing an object or artwork. We often think of balance as equivalent to symmetry, and symmetrical objects are often delightful. But even when a composition is asymmetrical, our brain can unconsciously detect whether or not it is balanced. Some researchers call this property dynamic balance, perhaps because it feels more active than a purely symmetrical design. We find joy in looking at these quilts, I think, because they create an unlikely sense of harmony. They look quirky and spontaneous, but underneath that whimsical appearance is a joyful sense of balance. And this combination is deeply satisfying. So dynamic balance and an unlikely sense of harmony, spontaneous yet grounded by a joyful sense of balance, All of this sounds to me like the work of the Holy Spirit in both creating and renewing the church. And when I say church, I mean Oak Church, but I also mean the larger church, the little C Catholic Church mentioned in the creeds. There is a lot of division in the worldwide church, but there is also a lot of really beautiful diversity. Even now, as we can feel more divided than ever as people of faith, the Holy Spirit is stitching us together in ways that are beautiful and joyful and unexpected. But that's not all. We're not just a thing of beauty. We are becoming something both beautiful and useful, something that provides shelter and comfort to others, something that is reflective of who God is. So if there's any application to the message today, other than you should take up quilting and travel to Alabama, I guess it would be this. Consider how the Holy Spirit might be at work in you this morning, perhaps stitching you more securely into this community or another community of which you are a part, the Lakewood community, your school or work community. Sometimes stitches break and fabrics fray, so maybe there's some repair that is needed. Or maybe the Spirit is giving you a sense of how you can be part of creating more joy or beauty or warmth. Or it could be that the Holy Spirit wants to give you some comfort and warmth this morning. I'm going to pray for us briefly, and then we'll have a short time of silence for you to listen to the Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us, for stitching us together into something that is beautiful and dynamic and greater than the sum of its parts. I pray that you will speak to each of us individually and also all of us corporately, and that we would have a real tangible sense of your nearness. Amen.